Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church on this fourth Sunday in Lent. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home, all of our virtual worshipers. It's nice to see everybody here bright and early today and on time after a time change. It's never a lot of fun to lose an hour of sleep, but you know, later on today when we have an extra hour of daylight, you know, that's one more sign that spring and Easter are coming soon. And another sign of spring is birds. So you've seen we have a feathered friend here with us today, and I'm sorry for the distraction. And so let's make a deal. If you promise to try to not be distracted by the bird, then I'll assume that every time somebody looks up at the bird, what you're really doing is you're just so inspired by the worship today. You're giving thanks to the Lord for the word and the sacraments. That's my assumption. For our worship service today, we're going to follow Divine Service Setting 4, and it's all printed for you there in the bulletin. I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the introit. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In place of the Gloria during the season of Lent, we will sing our Lenten hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Please remain standing.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. Today we use the words of the Nicene Creed, and we confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today, we're going to start with the Old Testament reading, Numbers chapter 21. So this is the famous passage where Moses lifts the bronze serpent up on a pole in the wilderness, and everyone who's bitten by a snake can look at that and be healed and live. But then we're also going to be looking at the gospel reading. Jesus is speaking about that event, and he makes it very clear that that event was looking forward to him being lifted up on the cross. And so all of us who look to the cross in faith are healed, and we live. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, I suppose I could say happy anniversary, although I'm not sure that happy is necessarily the right word for it, but this is the one-year anniversary. This week is the anniversary of the day that the world stopped, and tomorrow is March 15th. That was the date of the last in-person worship service we had before we completely shut down until June last year. And March 16th, that was the last day that we had in-person school before we completely switched to remote learning for the rest of the school year. So, what a difference a year makes, right? And certainly, we know that we're not back to the way that things used to be. But at the same time, I would say the majority of us are certainly feeling a lot more optimistic about things today than we were a year ago, and we have a lot of good reasons for that. I think it's interesting, just looking at it as a pastor, it's interesting liturgically that this anniversary is always going to fall during the season of Lent. Because Lent, of course, is the season where we as Christians focus on what it means to suffer, especially on the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for you and me. When you think about the suffering that is involved with a virus, you know, a lot of what we're concerned about as a country and globally is the kind of suffering that people end up feeling in their body, you know, the physical ailment side of everything. And it's kind of interesting that that is really the one type of suffering that you don't have an account of Jesus feeling, as in terms of, you know, you don't have a passage that talks about Jesus having a headache or a stomach ache or getting the sniffles or, you know, dealing with any one of those kinds of diseases. We have lots of accounts of people who did experience that kind of suffering being brought to Jesus or seeking Jesus out on their own. And we have these passages where we get to see Jesus heal these people. And certainly we know that Jesus' full humanity makes it so that he can identify with any kinds of suffering that you and I might go through. But it's just kind of interesting that getting sick is the one thing that we don't really hear going on with Jesus. At the same time, though, it's really uplifting and wonderful every time we have an opportunity to read one of those stories of Jesus' miraculous healings, because what it does is it gives us hope. It reminds us that Jesus is in control. He is the Lord of the universe. He does have the power to take away any physical ailment we might come up with, including even a global pandemic. But at the same time, we still have this reality that we live in, and we're still dealing with the virus, and we're not just dealing with the virus, but we're dealing with all of the other troubles that have popped up along with the virus, all of the problems that have come up socially and economically, and I would say even spiritually too. You know, and life goes on, and ministry goes on here at Trinity Hoyleton, but, you know, it looks different, and it feels different. And I think a lot of us are tired of it being different. We're tired of having to sign up before we come to church. We're tired of these ropes in the pews, and we're tired of not being able to hug people when we haven't seen them in a long time, and or even just shake their hand. We were just tired of all of the talk of the suffering. You're probably rolling your eyes, why is Pastor starting his sermon with this today? I'm tired of talking about it. You know, something I've noticed in my conversations with people who do suffer is that a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, people really want to know why. And I think part of that is because we're sort of hardwired to want a cause and effect for everything. So when people go through suffering, they want to know, well, why am I having to go through this? What is going on? They want to peer into that hidden will of God and try to figure out, you know, what exactly are his purposes for us? And then when those questions don't get answered right away, oh boy, that's like adding insult to injury sometimes. There's certain things that we do know for sure. We know that God works all things out for the good for those who love him. And we know that he does have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, but wouldn't we just love to know the reasons behind all the things that happen to us? I mean, wouldn't that just give us a light at the end of the tunnel whenever we have to go through something? Wouldn't that be great? But a lot of it remains a mystery, and that's kind of part of it. But then on the flip side, you have people who sometimes they go through suffering, or actually they'll watch somebody else go through suffering, and they're convinced that they know the reason why. So they'll kind of make up a reason. They'll say, oh, you know, that person is sick because clearly they're not being faithful to God in some way. You know, clearly they said something or did something bad, or, you know, clearly they made a decision that God doesn't like and he's using this to punish them. I think a lot of that gets influenced from the culture. You know, we have a lot of talk about karma around us and what goes around comes around. So people want to have that. You know, someone's going through something bad, they must have done something bad. I think sometimes it actually comes from false Christian teachings, too. I think that there are a lot of Christians who are convinced that God continues to use these kinds of sicknesses and these kinds of suffering, individual sins being punished in individual ways, just like we see him doing at several moments in the Old Testament. But actually what that does is it kind of ignores the fact that the cross of Jesus Christ has changed everything. I don't know that a lot of people realize that when they make the claim that somebody is paying for their own sins with their suffering, what that means is you're actually taking something away from what Christ accomplished on the cross. You're essentially saying that all of the pain and the death that Jesus experienced wasn't sufficient to pay for our sins, that somehow we have to help. We have to pay for things on our own. It's kind of a selfish way of looking at things. And thankfully, the gospel is much less self-centered, much less narcissistic. Actually, we get that in the epistle reading today, too. You know, it's not anything that we do. It's not about us. It's not our works that save us. It's all by God's grace. It's not a contest to see who can suffer the most, right? But it's all about Jesus. It's all about how he loves us, he forgives us, he has grace and mercy, even though we continue to sin against him. Even though we actually do deserve the opposite of what we get. Jesus loves us and forgives us. That's the good news. When you look at the Old Testament reading, though, today, here in Numbers chapter 21, what we have is an example of the way things used to be. This is a perfect example of one of those moments where God did use suffering to punish people for their sin. So this is more than 1,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth. This is actually something that was taking place as the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And here in Numbers 21, this is actually the tail end of that. So the Israelites are just about to enter into that promised land finally. So they've been dealing with this for a long time. They're getting tired of it, right? Just kind of like we are with the coronavirus. They're getting tired of it. And they're about to enter into the promised land, but there's a snag. Because what happens is, it says they have to go around the land of Edom. Well, what happened was the king of Edom told them that he wasn't going to let them pass right through his land. And what that meant was they had to backtrack, they had to go all the way back around the long way, and everybody didn't want to hear it. It was frustrating. They were tired of this, right? So they start grumbling, they start complaining, they start saying that there's no food, there's no water, even though the Lord had been consistently providing food and water for them for the last 40 years. They start saying that they'd rather go back to Egypt, even though Egypt is the place that they were rescued from from slavery where they were there for 400 years. But ultimately, their complaining is not just about Moses or their situation. The passage tells us they're complaining against God. So essentially, they're turning their backs on God. They're frustrated with God. They start to lose faith in God. And the response is God sends these fiery serpents. And the serpents bite people. And a bunch of them die. And it's really, really terrible. It's horrible. But one of the good things that comes out of that is that the people do kind of wake up. And they repent. And they turn back to God in faith. And then, of course, they ask Moses to pray, and God gives Moses a solution. Put a bronze serpent up on a pole. Anyone who's bitten by a serpent, they look at that, and if they believe, right, that faith in God, that trust in God, that is what's going to lead to their healing. So that's the way that it used to work. And we see that pattern over and over in the Old Testament. God's people sin against him, he sends them a punishment, they repent, they believe, and they're healed, and everything's back to normal. We see that over and over and over again. Well, then you get to the gospel reading today, and Jesus is really talking about how does it work now? So this passage in John chapter 3, this is a conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. And he's explaining to Nicodemus in the beginning of our passage that just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man needs to be lifted up. He's going to be lifted up upon the cross. And all those who look to that cross in faith will be healed. Now, faith in Jesus is not being given to us as this like magic medicine that's going to take all of our earthly, worldly problems away instantly, right? We should never assume that as faithful Christians, that means that we're never going to experience suffering. I think this past year is really good proof of that. But Jesus here, when we look at this scripture closer, he's not talking about these earthly, temporary snake bites that we deal with, as severe as they might be at times. He's talking about things that go beyond this life. And he kind of proves that in the really famous verse that's a part of this passage, which a lot of us probably already have memorized, John 3:16, when he says that, you know, those who believe in him will have eternal life. So Jesus has his sights set on the things that are eternal. He's being lifted up so that the spiritual snake bites can be cured, so that sin can be cured, so that he can take away all of the things that would cause us to go through eternal punishment. For us to only focus on the things that are bothering us here and now would actually be short-sighting the major accomplishment of the cross on Good Friday. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the snake bites we're dealing with right now. And we don't know how this virus thing is going to shake out. We don't know when this anniversary rolls around again next March, what our situation's going to be. Nobody can possibly predict that. I do think that we have good reason, like I said before, to be optimistic. But I think we also need to be careful about what it is that we want to put up there on the pole to have people look to for healing and salvation. What are we going to replace that bronze serpent with? Because it's not as though our souls are going to be saved by a vaccine or by this stimulus money that's going to magically appear in our bank accounts later this week, right? I mean, those things are good. They can be blessings from God. But, I mean, if that's what we put our faith and hope and trust in, ultimately, we're going to be pretty disappointed by that. When we're down and when we're suffering and we're at a very, very low point in our life, that's when we look at the cross of Christ. That's when we turn to him in faith, and that's when we are reminded that even the worst snake bites, the worst physical problems that we deal with in this world, that they are only temporary. Jesus destroyed death on the cross, and that means you are going to live forever. Even if the worst were to happen, and us as Christians, even if we were to die because of something terrible in our life, we know that that's not the end of the story for us. We know that one day we're going to live in a renewed, perfect heaven and earth where there is no more death. There are no more snake bites. There's nothing that will cause us any suffering ever again. Even where the snake himself, the evil serpent, Satan, cannot bite us. We know that that will be our situation. And yes, until that day comes for us, you're probably going to continue to suffer in some way. I mean, that's just the reality of life in this world. But I think as Christians, our attitude toward that suffering can change. Because Christ was lifted up on the cross, he took up his cross, and as we follow him, we carry our crosses too. St. Paul gives us a great example of this. St. Paul had suffered, he had a thorn in his flesh. And he talks about his experience of suffering. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he quotes God saying to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." May you be strong then also in the face of weaknesses. And remember always that Jesus is the cure for all of your spiritual snake bites. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have a few updates for you. We have included this week upcoming surgery for Janelle Small. That will be taking place tomorrow. And don't worry, this is unrelated to the gallbladder stuff. There haven't been any more setbacks with that, thanks be to God. Also, not printed into the bulletin, we are including today Chris Shaw. This is the daughter of Brad and Sherry Nierman. Chris is fighting a rare condition which has left her paralyzed. And so we'll certainly be keeping Chris and her family in our prayers. Also, we received word that our dear brother in Christ, Todd Twenhoffel, passed away on Thursday evening from complications from cancer. And so we'll certainly be keeping Cheryl and the kids in our prayers. Please stand as we go to God in prayer today. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, in these Lenten days, we pray that you would draw us into your light. Expose where we, like your people of old, have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son lifted up on the cross for our salvation and be saved from your righteous wrath. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you loved the world by giving your only Son, that whoever believes in him might be saved. We pray that you would bless the work of your church and those called to preach your gospel. By your Spirit, create and sustain saving faith within us and all who hear your word, that we may not be condemned, but saved and raised up with Christ to be seated with him in the heavenly places. We ask you to bless the work of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein, who serves you in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Iuka, and their pastor, Aaron Kangas. We also lift before you the call process here at Trinity Lutheran School as we seek a new school administrator. Bless the work of the call committee and quickly lead us to the person you have already chosen to serve. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, you have set authorities over us for our good, including our President, Joe Biden, and our Governor, J.B. Pritzker, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Bless and sustain them with all they need to govern us, that we might be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. And bless those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have made us alive in Christ, and we pray that your Spirit would be at work within us, that we may be walking in the good works you have prepared for us to do in him. We lift before you and rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Michael, Luann, Al, Shirley, Reese, Riley, Caitlin, Lindsay, Jennifer, and Gabriel. We also thank you for the gift of Christian marriage. We ask you to bless those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Dennis and Pam Newhouse. Sustain them in love for each other and for you each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are our light and our salvation. Hide in your shelter all who suffer in body, mind, or soul, including all those who are on our prayer lists, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Janelle before your throne as she prepares for her surgery tomorrow. We also lift before you Chris, who has been dealing with this rare condition, that you would relieve her paralysis. And all those with other ongoing health needs, including Marvin, Matthew, Amy, Beulah, Cheryl, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ. We also lift before you all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We especially ask that you would be with the family and friends of Todd Twenhoffel. Bring peace and comfort to them as we look ahead to Easter, remembering the promise of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you have brought with you a tithe or offering, we ask that you would please place that in the basket in the narthex. At this time, we will continue with our offertory hymn, which is "What Wondrous Love Is This?" Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is God Loved the World So That He Gave. Please stand. You may be seated. At this time, I would like to invite our Sunday school students and teachers to dismiss over to the school building. That includes you, little bird. Good morning. Well, it's a busy time of year, and there's lots of things going on. I do have a few announcements. I wanted to let you know about some of those things. First of all, I wanted to mention that tomorrow will be the coordination meeting at 7 o'clock in the evening. So really excited to have that available again. We've been kind of like off schedule, and so to have the opportunity to get together as ministries and talk about things. So that will be 7 o'clock for all of those involved with that. I also wanted to mention that, as I said in the prayers, with Todd Twenhoffel's passing, the arrangements have been made where tomorrow the visitation will take place at St. John's in New Minden from 5 to 8 p.m., and then the funeral service is Tuesday morning at 11. Now, that's going to be a private service, but the service will be live streamed on the Facebook page of Compagna Funeral Home. So if you'd like to be part of the funeral on Tuesday, you are invited to do that virtually. That's Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. A few other things to mention. So our midweek sermon series continues for the season of Lent, and we're still talking about the places of the Passion. This week, we will have Pastor Tim Miller here in Hoyleton. I will be preaching at Trinity in Nashville this coming Wednesday night. Then going forward, looking ahead to March 24th, that is going to be our special confirmand questioning service. And so with all of the extra things that take place in that service will begin at 6 o'clock rather than 7 o'clock. That gives us an extra hour to get everything done that we need to get done, plus the PTL is hosting a private reception for them afterwards, and it's a school night, so we want to make sure that we're not getting out of here at like 10 o'clock at night or something, so we're going to start that evening a lot earlier. Now, along with that, I have to make a few announcements about attendance for the questioning service and especially for Palm Sunday. We have given our 8 confirmands, and their names are printed in the bulletin, we've given their families the first opportunity to register for attendance at the questioning service and at confirmation. And for questioning, after everything's said and done, we still have about, it's going to be very limited. There's going to be about 25 to 30 seats left after all the families. So we're going to make that registration live this week. If you'd like to be here for the questioning, be one of the first to sign up, because like I said, there's only about 25 or 30 seats to go. For Palm Sunday, Confirmation Day, we are already at our capacity for that day with the confirmands and their families. And so there will not be an opportunity for public worship in person here in the sanctuary on Palm Sunday. And we really feel badly about that, but we know that everybody understands why. You are invited to participate with us virtually that day, and because we know that Palm Sunday worship is a tradition for a lot of our families, we wanted to create another opportunity for you to do that with a group. And so we are going to be simulcasting that service into our gymnasium in the school. We're going to be setting up chairs, and actually the Sunday school children are going to be invited to come and participate with a Palm Sunday palm processional in the gymnasium. So if you'd like to come and be part of church and you don't want to just sit at home and watch the Facebook Live at home, you can come and do that in a group in our gym that morning. And please, if you have any questions about that, please let me or one of the elders know. And we apologize for any inconvenience. It's just a special circumstance because of confirmation, and we really want to accommodate those families first and foremost. We will also be opening registration for Easter Sunday this week. So Easter Sunday, we will have our 6:30 and 9:30 worship services, both of them. We can have up to 120 people at each. We believe that that will be enough to accommodate everybody on Easter. But we really want to know if that's going to be a problem and if we need to make any adjustments. So I'm going to open up Easter registration this week, and I really want to encourage you all, if you know which service you're going to attend and how many people might be with you, would you please sign up for that early so that if we need to make any adjustments, we can. So that'll be up on our website and on Facebook later this week. The other thing that I need to mention about Easter Sunday, unfortunately, we are not able to have the youth serve a full breakfast that morning this year, but we are wanting to provide an opportunity for some Easter fellowship. And so the stewardship board has decided to provide some coffee and donuts in the gym at 8:15. And please also take note of the fact that Sunday school will be meeting at 8:15 that day as well. So Sunday school has been meeting after worship, but on Easter Sunday, it will be at 8:15. And please come and join us for some coffee and donuts that day. The only other thing that I think I wanted to mention today is I want you to take note that the Board of Christian Education, the call committee, is looking for options, candidates that we might be able to look at for the school administrator position. We are going through all of the different rostered candidates that have come to us from the district and some that we found on our own. But we know that a lot of you might know people that we don't know. So if you have a suggestion for somebody that we should talk to or gauge their interest, if you would please submit that to us, we would really appreciate that. Any other announcements that I missed today? I know that was a lot. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to invite the ushers to come and dismiss anyone who's not planning to stay for communion, and I'll invite the elders to help me set the table. God's blessings to you and your family this week.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.